Shalom and Calvary greetings to you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am Brother Edgardo Reses again from the Philippines. And it's my pleasure again, brothers and sisters, to share to you the Word of God for this week's daily devotion. And so before we move on to the start of our week sharing, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this very day, for another gift of breath, another gift of health, gift of life you sustain to each and every one of us. Let us, O Father, return all the gratitude, all the glory to your mighty name. And, O Father, if there are those that are sick, grant them, Lord, immediate recovery. O Lord, that refreshing moment may come from your throne, and that true healing, Father, may happen right at this very moment. Amen. And Father, bless us, each and every one of us, this week as we listen and partake the daily devotion sharing, that we may receive what is due for us this week, Lord. This we ask in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to thank the able ministers of God from different places who have always been contributing in the ministration of the Word of God here in the Daily Devotion platform, and also the brothers and sisters listening from every part of the globe. God bless you all. Now, we've heard just last week a beautiful message shared to us by Pastor Truman about the doctrine of the Godhead. I know that message was linked and in continuity with the message of Pastor Tim McKay entitled "Who Art Thou," stressing more on Jesus Christ as the mouthpiece of God, as a vessel through which the Father spoke and did his work of redemption. Jesus as the prophet of God, as the prophet raised by God, like unto Moses. Amen. Amen. Now that was a beautiful message. That was a genuine teaching, a true revelation of the Godhead. God who is a spirit has never become flesh. Amen. God remains a spirit. He just used an earthly vessel, a righteous man, his prepared body, his own dear son, to fulfill his redemptive plan. Amen. That was a sound doctrine. Yes. Amen. And this week, I want to speak on the subject, the sound doctrine. The sound doctrine. And let us turn our Bibles to Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Matthew 7, 24 to 27, and later Titus 1:9. Let us read first Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Amen. In Titus chapter 1, verse 9, Titus chapter 1, verse 9, in this verse, I take my subject, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Amen. Sound doctrine. Remember, our subject is on sound doctrine. Okay. Now, here at this juncture, let me begin by asking you a question. And please, brothers and sisters, answer this question within yourselves honestly. The questions are, these are three questions, but related things, or just a one idea. Yeah. The first one is, why are you in this message? Why are you in this message? Second, what brought you out? And third, what made you decide to step out from your previous religion to the flock you are in now? Amen. Why are you in this message? What brought you out? And what made you decide to step out from your previous religion to the flock you are in now? You know, these are important questions to reflect over and over again in our daily service to God. Well, I don't know how the Lord called each and every one of you. I'm sure we have different stories with regards to the way God called us. But whatever is your answer, I hope this is not about your personal motive. This is not about the person or the minister God used to let you hear his word. And I hope your answer is not about any a brother or sister, because he is good to you, or he is somewhat appealing religious, caring, or somewhat like that. I hope for the young people, I hope you step out not because of your fiancé or your sweetheart that is in the message churches. Yeah. I hope your answer will be something deeper than that, deeper than any human relationship, deeper than any human motive. Amen. Because if your reason belongs to these shallow things, then I tell you, you build your house upon a sinking sand. You build your house upon a sinking sand. Amen. The Bible said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, whosoever heareth these sayings, these words of mine, and doeth them. See? It must not be any other reasons, brothers and sisters. But we should have come out because we hear the right word. We hear the true word of God and acted on it accordingly. Amen. It must be the word and nothing else. Let your reason, let our reason be the word of truth. Amen. Or, brothers and sisters, it could be that because of our carnality, God first used our human relationship, maybe our human motive, maybe in order for us to come on a certain gathering, a certain Bible study and hear the word. And then when we are in and hear the word, there our faith is founded. Amen. It could be this way, but it must not be just because of any human relationship, any human considerations. It must be that our faith must be founded upon the rock, the revealed word of God. Amen. Amen. Again, in Matthew 7:24, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And verse 26, everyone that heareth these things of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, so our faith, your faith, must have heard, must be founded upon a rock. You must have heard and responded to the word of God, and so you came out. That must be. It must not just be looking or seeing at a man, or it must not be just looking at the goodness of the man God used. You must not just be looking at any man, because in that case you are building your faith upon the sinking sand. Amen. Look not at the man, because when you look at a man, you will fail in the long run. I tell you, brothers and sisters. But look at the word. Look at Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. You know, I thank the Lord for what he has done in the recent local convention that we, the saints here, were attending. You know, I told you last week, we attended a gathering, and I thank the Lord for giving us the opportunity, because in that gathering, God moved and reconciled a difference over a doctrinal issue, specifically the Godhead. You know, started, I think, about a year ago, one local assembly charged me of teaching another Godhead. Yes. I remember I preached back then a sermon entitled, "What House Will You Build For Me? What House Will You Build For Me?" And in that sermon, I, instead of just using Paul's term, in the book of Colossians, fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in him bodily, fullness. Instead of the term of Paul, fullness, I use my own term, 100%, instead of fullness. After all, fullness means 100% anyway, right? And this one local church, the ministers, they misinterpreted my use of word, and they interpreted and said that Brother Resos is already teaching that Jesus has become God, 100% God. And I know that was because of the term that I use, 100%. They said Brother Resos already adopted a Jesus only movement doctrine. And yeah, I said, even in the title alone of my sermon, "What House Will You Build For Me?" you will understand immediately my thought. Yeah, that I was not referring to the body of Jesus, but I was referring to the nature. The nature that was in Christ. Anyway, that was just only one local church, but the other local assemblies, other pastors understood what I mean when I used the term 100%. And in my preachings from then on, when I touch on the Godhead, I always emphasize that Jesus has never become God, or that God, which is a spirit, has never become flesh. Never. What I mean when I said 100% was the nature of God, or the Godhood that was in Christ Jesus, I said. Then we conducted a ministers meeting after that, for that sake, and we went home thinking it was successful, but it was not until this recent convention that we had, and I had an ample time to present the Godhead from eternity to eternity, that the elders of this one local church admitted that we share the same understanding of the Godhead. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. You know, brothers and sisters, whatever is our life status, whatever is our societal background or education, maybe, it is nothing before God. Yes. Amen. But you know, God just permitted us, even his ministers, to use our own expression, to use our own terminology, to use our own language, for his word to be preached and to be made known to the people, you know. So I would say, don't misinterpret Brother Branham with his own slang language, you know. Don't misinterpret John the Baptist in the wilderness using his own language. Don't misinterpret any ministers using his own way of preaching, using his own language in preaching, but understand the whole context, understand the whole message before you give your judgment. Amen. That's the right thing to do. Amen. Well, we thank God the issue has been resolved, and now the sweet fellowship, we are now in sweet fellowship again. The beautiful smiles of brothers and sisters and the good relationship are now back. We thank God for that. Amen. Amen. But then, after the issue was resolved in that convention last week that I said, there stood a young minister, and during his sermon he said, "Let us not anymore talk about doctrine, because doctrine is no longer needed. Let us set aside doctrine and just do good deeds to others, love one another, and so on and so forth." He said, I know he said this because of what had just happened. I know. But anyway, brothers and sisters, doctrine is never the problem. Do you agree with me? Sound doctrine, or simply sound teaching, is never the problem, you know? The problem lies on the attitude of people hearing the word, hearing the truth, hearing the doctrine. It lies on the attitude. Doctrine never divides. If the attitude of the people hearing the doctrine is right. Amen. The word of God is truth, and there's no other truth than the word of God. And truth comes to us, yeah, in the form of instruction, in the form of teaching, in the form of doctrine. Do you hear that? Amen. Truth comes to us in the form of instruction, in the form of teaching, in the form of doctrine. That's why in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, the Bible said, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for the doctrines the commandments of men." See? What does the Bible say why people worship him in vanity? It is because they are teaching doctrines of men. Amen. Instead of sound doctrine coming from the revealed word of God, they are teaching doctrines of men. Brothers and sisters, this is the reason why in our service to God, in our worshiping to God, which the Bible said we worship God in spirit and in truth. In truth, yeah, we cannot set aside sound doctrine. We cannot set aside truth for the sake of numbers, members, many members, because we cannot worship God outside the truth. Amen. Amen. We cannot worship God outside the truth. And yeah, going back to Matthew 7, the house that was built upon a rock stood firm. It stood firm even when the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. That house fell not. Amen. You know, this is like what Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, which says, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Amen. The reason why, brothers and sisters, God sent the fivefold ministry, the reason why the fivefold ministry is given to the church is so that our faith is like a house which is built upon a rock. That when every wind of doctrine is come, we will not be carried about and be tossed to and fro. Amen. So, what do the rain, the flood, the wind in Matthew 7 represent? They represent doctrines, wind of doctrines brought about by cunning men. Amen. And so, brothers and sisters, do not neglect, hallelujah, the truth, the doctrines your ministers are teaching. They are for your edification. They are there as your foundation. Amen. They are there for your stability, that you will not be like children carried to and fro by every wind of doctrine brought about by cunning men. So don't set aside sound doctrine. Don't set aside the revealed word just for the sake of fake fellowship, just for the sake of fake unity. Amen. Fake love. Amen. My fellow ministers, my fellow soldiers, don't hesitate to teach the truth. Amen. Don't hesitate to teach sound doctrine. Don't exchange the revealed word with the temporary enjoyment just because the sugar-coated gospels invite many worshipers. No. Let us all be steadfast in teaching sound doctrine. And let us all be founded on the rock of revelation. Amen. Let us all continue and abide in the pure and unadulterated word of God. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now let us continue tomorrow. I'm glad I have started the day with firmness, I think. So, brothers and sisters, don't get lost. See you tomorrow. God bless you all. Shalom.